Like cheers. To the floor.
Cheers. It's
cheers. It is.
Cheers.
What day is it?
Wednesday. It's hump day.
I started my traffic out with being 4 o'clock, so you and I both got the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
Oh, jeez.
Sometimes you just want to fast
well,
forward.
Well, remember.
Things.
Is Mercury in retrograde still
it's
going
over.
On? Is it over?
Brittany told
today.
Us yesterday
yeah,
was the last day.
Yeah. We did it. We none of us signed any contracts or did anything, you know, or bought anything or made any big decisions.
We just resigned.
No.
Or was that before?
It was before the Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so listen to this. So I know that a lot of people did not go see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
It was wanted to go tonight.
Oh, good.
We're going to go.
It's so good.
You're no, we want to see it in your movie popcorn. Theater. No, yeah, we aren't going to go because something else came up, but we are going to go to that
okay.
this week.
Well, one of the, and again, Abigail, you know, the scary, that always gets the kids.
Okay, the other movies that were out, we're competing with.
Yeah, Abigail, which is, you know, this vampire, and it's actually gotten very good reviews. And then I forget what the other couple movies were that people have been going to. So it did like... It did like 10 million, but
well,
I think...
Well, one that you want us to go to with Dev Patel.
Oh, Monkey Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's happened with that.
I don't either.
One person in here saw it and said it was fantastic. Lexi said it was amazing.
Yeah, my brother saw it and said the same thing. But one of the things when you see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and I do think it would be fun on the screen, is that... Alan Richson, who's our guy Reacher the TV show...
Yes.
Is such, he steals the movie in every scene he's in.
Okay.
And this is pretty hard because Henry Cavill is beyond giddily fun and unbelievable as guy Gus Marcher or whatever, the guy who really is, you come to find out, the inspiration for Bond. So pay attention to who all these characters are, how they introduce themselves. But Alan Richson's character, so Jerry Bruckheimer produced this movie with Guy Ritchie, I guess. And he gave an interview to Variety and said, out of when he looked at that, because no one, Alan Richson comes, he was in Smallville, maybe Titans, but he
Blue Mountain State was his other.
His other big one.
That was the one big, it was a comedy show about a football team. That was his one big thing prior. And he is the exact opposite person of what we know him in Reacher and this. He's talented.
So, but he's older, you know, he's like late 30s when he comes in into this, you know, kind of the fame of being business.
Sure,
he exploded with Reacher. That is really weird. But Jerry Bruckheimer, so he's produced a gazillion movies, and he's like, if this guy chooses right, he there's no doubt he's going to be one of the biggest movie stars because his presence on the screen is so magnetic.
Absolutely.
And one of the things we find out is that apparently Alan Richson, it is said that he has been thought of to play Batman.
Oh, wow.
In the DCU.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he's been cast to star in a Christmas comedy with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those two will be in a movie together. And if he was Batman, it would be just totally reimagining Batman. So I don't know. That's just out there.
But I like it.
Jerry Bruckheimer is like, just based on the sheer charisma of seeing him on the screen.
Can you imagine his eyes under, you know, how just he's got
under
that look.
In,
you know, he's got that look at Reacher where he kind of puts his face down. He's got that deadpan, but serious at the same time. That's a perfect look for that mask in Batman, I feel like.
And we're ready for a new big action movie star.
Yeah.
We really
All
are.
All right. I'm ready.
I mean, who do we have? We have
The Rock.
Institutions. Yeah, we've got The Rock. We've had him, and you know, he's been around and he'll continue to be around, but just like so that's happening.
He's likable, Lori. He's likable, and we all have a crush on him. Let's just go to that.
And the biggest thing, I've said this before, you guys, and I'm sorry to interrupt, with him is he is such a real, like you said, likable and real individual. When he does his TikToks, which I talk about all the time, his TikToks, he brings you into just like this world that you would never expect from him. He is very shy, very conservative, he's so real that I think that you're right. He's just got nothing but stardom ahead of him.
Yeah, I think so. And then speaking of stardom, we got a sneak peek. There's a new movie that George Clooney is filming with a whole bunch of people that we like. And the still that I saw is him leaning in for a kiss with none other than Isla Fisher. And the movie is being directed by Noah Baumbach.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote it. He's directing it. He's Greta Gerwig's husband.
Yep.
And he co-wrote Barbie with her. And apparently they take turns doing movies.
One gets in, the other one watches the kids.
Yeah. Yep. So Isla Fisher, George Clooney, rounding out the rest of this rom-com cast, you ask? Patrick Wilson, Billy Crudup, Adam Sandler, Laura Dern, and that old British guy that we like, Jim Broadbent, which you'd recognize.
I know I would.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're filming that someplace in England.
Oh, I like that.
And it's Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Is this movie. We have you no just, name.
No, it's the movie.
It's a funny and emotional coming-of-age movie about adults.
Oh, I love
that. And it's adults our age, Julia,
yeah,
based on the cast.
And you said Riley Keough, right?
I didn't know Riley was in it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's in it. This. Yep, yep.
And third episode of Under the Bridge drops tonight.
Grant, did you catch it?
I watched the first episode. Yeah, I watched about one full episode. Tonight, Lily's gone, so I'm going to dabble quite a bit tonight.
She's working, Under the Bridge. It's on Hulu. It's so good.
It really was.
You know, last night, I'm late to the game, and I haven't watched it. The second season of Bosch Legacy.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, my word. But I want you to know, I don't know that we knew this, but there is a third season of Bosch Legacy, and it already started filming.
Yeah, I did know that.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But if
Casey and I, when Bosch comes out, we watch it in a weekend.
Yeah,
just gobble it up because it's so good.
I hadn't watched the second season of it.
Forget. There's so many shows sometimes. If you don't watch them, like as soon as they come out, you forget they're on.
Such a good show.
It is so good. You know, the city of LA never looks
prettier.
It's so
good. And Grant, your show is coming back. And I feel like, did you finish watching The Big Door Prize on Apple?
Oh, I loved it. When's that coming back soon?
It's tonight.
Oh, my God.
The season premiere.
Oh, my. That show, it was very interesting because it's a town where they basically, this machine showed up overnight.
Yeah.
And then you would go to this machine and it would tell you what you were supposed to be.
To achieve your potential, you must discover who you are.
Yeah. And then so everybody in town starts getting these cards and then finding these unbelievable talents. Well, there's a couple skeptics in town and they left you on a great cliffhanger, excuse me. And
I couldn't even think of the word to help you.
But the cast is great. The story is fantastic. The emotion that you get because everybody's going through these ups and downs and they realize, well, hey, I was a teacher my whole life, but I'm supposed to be a rock star. And
I'd like to have one of those machines.
It overtakes this town and the whole town just.
Lori, have you tried it?
I think Lori would love it if you watched it, Lori. The actors and
the Big Door Prize.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's with Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd.
I love him.
From Bridesmaids. That's where I know him. But he's the main character and he's the skeptic. He's a teacher in town who. Yeah. Doesn't believe that this should be how we are. He's like, why are we all feeding into
our
this?
Our assignment tonight, you guys, is Shogun.
The finale.
I don't. Jeff is out, so I don't know that I can do it tonight.
You can't watch it without him. All right.
Shogun
finale. They've been pretty good. No one's put a spoiler in it, but the two guys, you know, because isn't it the Game of Thrones guys who brought us this?
Yeah.
They said they're not going past the book.
Yeah, good.
Shogun.
And I can't. That book came out in, 1977?
And no one can remember, but it was like 1,200 pages.
Yes.
But they said that they have told the whole story, beginning, middle, and end. So Clavell never wrote about that again. So it seems to be a one and done.
Oh, it's so good.
But you'd think if they could figure out a way.
This is one of the better shows.
It's been our first epic that we've had since, Game of Thrones. We had a little bit of House of Dragons.
No, we had the other one on Prime, though. Amazon. The Amazon one, the magical one on Amazon. Wasn't House of Dragons. That was back on Max. What was the one on Prime? Lord of the Rings?
That was like 2 years ago.
I know, but I
loved it so long.
I loved that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So was Game of Thrones forever. Whatever that
but
was.
But it went off the rails that last season because George R.R. Martin went past the book.
Yeah, interesting.
And they came up with their own thing. So they're gun shy to do that again, mm-hmm. I think, as far as because they went out, as they say in the business, over their skis.
There you go, Laurie.
By coming up with the ending, and George R. Martin hadn't written it yet, so there was so much criticism.
Grant, did you find what it is?
Which one? The Lord of the Rings? Yeah, it's called The Rings of Power.
The Rings of Power. That was good. We liked that. Yep.
Oh, it scored so very well. Remember how beautiful? Like,
it was beautiful. But it's been like 2 years. I mean,
it's like 1924. It's like all the Yellowstone crap. I mean, quit teasing us and then taking it away.
Yeah, it was. The first episode was in September of 2022. So that feels like a lot. Yeah, you're right. It was a long
time. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
But we did like gobble that show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of
But anyway, I want one of you two to go see The Ministry of
I'm going to. I'm going to see it maybe tomorrow night or sometime soon.
I think it's going to be this weekend for me looking, and I hate to bring up weather right now, but we've got
the rain.
It's going to be nasty.
It's going to be nasty all weekend. We got thunderstorms Friday, this rain on Saturday,
maybe
Sunday rain.
In Minnesota.
I see there's a lot of comics in town this weekend. Lewis Black is that he Mystic.
Here?
He's
Is that
so
sold
funny.
Out?
It looked like very limited amount of tickets. He's incredible. But there's people, Chelsea Handler, that sold out. But there's people all over the place. And maybe it's not someone you know. But Neil Justin had a whole big thing. It's some kind of comedy fest here this weekend.
Well, he should come on and tell us if their ticket's still available. Neil, we miss you.
Yeah. Well, all right. We're just lazy and just never contact him, quite frankly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I'm lazy.
Thank you for repeating that line and saying it correctly. Okay, now with that honesty, we're going to come back and get to the dirt alert. Hey, gang, it's Lori and Julia here for Sweet Living Senior Care, Memory Care, Assisted Living, and Hospice Care. And you need to go visit Sweet Living Senior Care to understand the difference.
Seeing is believing at this place. It really is.
But there's 18 metro communities, probably in a community near you. They're smaller communities, only 32 suites. They're new. They're beautiful. It feels like home. And one of the biggest decisions when your loved one is going to the next stage is, we want a place that takes care of them, makes it feel like home, is respectful, is responsive. They've got a 1-to-8 staff to pay to
for care.
Mm-hmm. And then they also have, you know, if you compare other places, it's 1-to-10 or 1-to-12. So that's really on top of it. They have an RN full time there. They do assist, 2-person assist if someone's heavier. They've got wider bathrooms to get in and out of. It's just a great place with a heart. Visit sweetlivingseniorcare.com to schedule your tour.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hi, Grant.
Yes.
What kind of dirty dirt are we having today on the Lori and Julia program?
What's on the dirt menu?
The menu is the 2000 tabloids, you guys. This is a great story. So Paris Hilton has acquired the rights to a book about the 2000 tabloid culture for a new documentary. So she's putting the spotlight on the early 2000s tabloid culture, because Paris production company 1111 Media has acquired the rights to Sarah Dunham's book, Toxic Women, Fame, and the Tabloid 2000s.
Oh, it was, I mean, just watching the Britney Spears thing, you see the lens of that early 2000s.
Unbelievable.
We'll watch this.
Paris Hilton plans to transform the book into an entire docuseries with herself as one of the main subjects, because the book takes a close look at 9 A-listers who were the spotlight in the 2000s of a lot of these tabloid things, being Britney Spears, which you just said, Lindsay Lohan, Aaliyah, Janet Jackson, Amy Winehouse, Kim Kardashian, China, and Jennifer Aniston herself highlighting their complicated dynamics of fame. So,
yeah, Paris has gotten a taste of producing things. You know, she did that thing with her, the school.
Yeah.
You know, the documentary about
the expose on the school that she was sent away to.
Yes,
that
a lot of school, these quote unquote wilderness camps.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. She shined such a light on it. I believe she testified in front of Congress.
She did.
She's changed it, like how I think it basically that changed how a lot of things go with those schools, from what I remember.
Right. Some of the ways that they were not regulated.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So according to Paris, this new series will allow her and others to reclaim the toxic narrative they faced. So they're retaking the reins to their own story, which
I will watch the heck out of that.
Absolutely. Now, remember when we were talking about Anyone But You and the whole, because this movie starred Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, did very well at the box office. At first, it slowed down a little bit, but it ended up bringing over, I think, over $200 million in the box office. But we were all caught up in the story of the beautiful Glenn Powell and the beautiful Sydney Sweeney and the potential relationship that they were doing while marketing and promoting this movie, while doing an interview with the New York Times, Glenn Powell.
Did he admit it?
He admitted that pretty much Anyone But You, the two things that you have to sell in a rom-com are fun and chemistry. Sydney and I had a ton of fun together, and we have a ton of effortless chemistry. He adds that people wanting what's on the screen and off the screen, sometimes you just have to lean into a little bit, and we worked wonderfully. Sydney was very smart with that.
The oldest PR thing trick in the book.
Yeah, Sydney herself also chimes in the interview, confirming that she was the one pulling, quote, the strings and getting everyone to think that her and Glenn were
she would lean close to him. She was so good at it.
That's good.
I loved her. I loved to hear this, too. She said she was on every call. There was a text group of chats, probably keeping, she said, everybody up at Sony's marketing and distribution, because she thought that it was very important. She wanted to make sure that they were actively having conversations with the audiences who were promoting this film.
Blah, blah, blah. That was just good PR strategy.
That's right. You're right.
You brought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Look at these pictures.
Yeah, totally wanted to be happening because I can't stand the guy she's engaged to. He's too old for her.
I love it.
Her friends think so too, and so does her mom, by the way.
How do I know?
I've made it up in my head.
That's just wondering. I'm not even questioning, but I've let that go in my head.
And you know, Gen Z is even more skeptical of age differences. Like they think even 5 years sometimes is too much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's been, you know, I think 10.
First of all, it depends 10, on 12. 40, 50 isn't a big deal.
That's right.
20, 30. 20,
when you're...
That 10 years, you do so much growing up in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you want to be young.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
You want to experience.
That's the thing.
You don't want to be automatically 30.
Exactly. And that's where you will be if you start.
You want to have fun.
Yeah. Be with all the 20 somethings. I agree with you.
I'm with you guys, even though I kind of lived that whole story myself. But
that's all right. It doesn't matter.
No, I get it. I agree.
You're not
completely
in your 20s now.
Right.
No, I'm not. No. But we got to mention this because we talked about the amazing deal that Caitlin Clark got yesterday. Well, from Nike, she was getting $28 million over 8 years. And there are some people criticizing this, one being Dave Portnoy. We've talked about him a couple times. He's the leader of Barstool Sports. Mm-hmm. He has come out. He's a big Swiftie. He's a big proponent or a big...
he's a clout chaser for sure.
For sure, because he's been doing this with Taylor Swift. But I also feel there's some genuineness to it, because this right here, he has receipts and it makes sense. He believes that she's worth at least $10 million a year because she's only getting $3.5 million a year from Nike. And
but why didn't her agent get that? So easy to get, why didn't she get it?
Remember, the people even walked away when they were asking $3 million was the minimum bid.
Yeah. The other, because there was nobody
else. Short sightedness. Yeah. There's never been a woman like
her.
Yeah. So Nike got a deal because there was no competition.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you get what you can get unless she just had a terrible agent.
But you
can only get what the market will like bring in in a situation like this.
But speak of the marketing, now LeBron James is the top star in the NBA. Yeah. He got a lifetime deal for $1 billion.
Right, but he's a man.
Exactly, my point. And I'm saying that this is where I get what you're saying that there was no, but I feel like she deserves more.
Yeah, of course. But women, we are used to just getting crumbs, Grant. Oh, yeah. Okay,
I understand. That.
Hear
I
me out. We
no,
are
I know.
Used
I know.
To the crumbs of the world. Okay,
I agree, and that's why
and
I'm
bringing leave it
this
to
up.
A guy, Dave Portnoy, to mansplain, complain, and tell us something we didn't already know.
Right.
Yeah, that's like kind of the thing.
All right. Well, I didn't
have
see
to
it that way.
I get
what you're saying. I know what you guys go through, but I see him as bringing.
You don't,
up great...
though, Grant. You really don't.
I don't, but
I just kidding. Grant, I see you.
I just when you look at a guy named James Harden getting a 10-year deal for $200 million. He's a minor superstar in
he
this
is.
Whole world.
I agree with you.
There should be more money for these women.
The basic thing is women don't get respect. Yet.
No, they don't. And they
so
deserve
the
a lot
money.
More.
Yeah. That was it. Yep.
Yep. I
just agree.
Just
everyone's
don't want to
saying,
come off as the guy who's trying to say
we're
that
all
they
saying
don't.
The same thing.
Yes. Yes.
We're
yes.
all saying it's time to hear about the traffic.
That's right. That's
Let's
right.
hear about it. Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia for Learning RX. And this is another thing that we absolutely love is we have 7 Learning RX locations in the Twin Cities area. And it works. It's one-on-one brain training, completely different than tutoring. And tutoring, you just throw things at people and hope that they get it this time that they didn't get last time. And there was a reason they didn't get it last time.
Right.
So LearningRx has this national test. It's called the Woodcock-Johnson test. It takes a little more than an hour of your time. And when you're done with it, and I've taken it, it's fascinating, the results. You know, you'll find out what you're really good at and what you're not so good at. And then LearningRx develops a program and gives you your own trainer. And you go in and do all these fun, exhausting, fun games and grow different parts of your cognitive brain that were just under development. It works. Call them today. Mention us. And your assessment's 50% off.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Thanks, Grant.
And then there was a scandal.
Vintage scandal.
It was quite the scandal.
Oh. Okay, so I came across something today about the Prince Rainier and Grace Kelly.
Oh.
And Prince Rainier was
of age gaps.
Mm-hmm, the Prince of Monaco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Monaco's population is probably what? Little teeny tiny country.
Less than a million.
Yeah. And so just a little bit about, because I was thinking about how many times her children were on the cover of People magazine.
A lot.
Because it was like Princess Diana, JFK Jr., Elizabeth Taylor, mm-hmm. And the Monaco kids. I mean, they were
Princess Grace
and then her children.
Yeah.
So just a little quick history on Princess Grace. She worked with Alfred Hitchcock, and she was kind of a woman who was very into her independence and lived in New York City in this home where actors would live in the 50s. Alfred Hitchcock took her under. She was in Dial M for Murder, Rear Window to Catch a Thief.
36,000 people.
It's teeny.
Wow. Teeny.
And then in 1954, she was briefly engaged to Olga Cassini. Yes.
The fashion designer.
He wooed her. He was a Russian fashion designer, wooed her with bouquets of roses until she agreed to go out with them. They were briefly engaged, but he was credited with helping Grace Kelly's trademark elegant style.
Mm-hmm.
And he also did the elegant style of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Yes.
And so in 1955, Grace Kelly wins an Oscar for this film called Country Girl.
Yeah.
And she starred as a washed up the wife of a washed-up alcoholic singer and actor played by Bing Crosby. I almost want to see this. Mm-hmm. Judy Garland was expected to win for her performance in Star is Born.
That's
but Grace
right.
Kelly won. In 1955, Grace Kelly went to the Cannes Film Festival. She met Prince Rainier of Monaco. By that May, at Cannes they met. And their engagement was announced the following January, and she moved and dropped her movie career and went and lived in Monaco. He asked her parents, he went to Philadelphia where she was from, and asked the parents if she could marry.
He was like at least 20
years
old.
He was older, yes.
Yeah, at least.
Okay, so.
And she apparently had love affairs
with everybody,
every co-star she had.
And she was with Grace, you know.
And I love that, you know, but she was like very, very independent.
She was a forward, independent woman that in the 50s.
Yeah.
And beautiful. So.
And then settled down in a castle.
She settled down in a castle in 1956, and it was the wedding of the century. Paris Match, if people remember that magazine, M-A-T-C-H, it was all the rage back then, but she was on the cover all the time. And so she had three children, Princess Caroline, Prince Albert, and Princess Stephanie. In 1982, she was killed in a car accident when she was driving back to Monaco from the family's country house. The car rolled off this funny, curvy road, and they had too much luggage in the back seat. She hated driving. She hated driving.
Isn't
didn't
the
want to
story
do this,
that but Stephanie she was really driving?
It's always been that way.
Oh.
And the car rolled. The mom died later that day. Stephanie suffered injuries, wasn't really healthy till a year later.
I've been on that road.
Ooh. Yeah, curvy, curvy, curvy.
Mm-hmm.
So Princess Stephanie struggled with this forever.
She was only 26 when she stopped acting. But she had such... acted like from 19 to... I guess 25 were her big acting years.
She did. So let's go through the kids.
Okay.
Okay, so Stephanie was in the car with her.
Rumored to have been the driver.
Rumored to have been the driver. Yep. So Caroline was the firstborn. She became Monaco's surrogate first lady when she was 25 years old. She, in 1978, married Parisian banker Philippe Jeannot. They divorced 2 years later. And eventually annulled their marriage.
Mm.
She then married Stefano Carasgassi, who was the boater, the fast boat racer.
Casarigi.
Yes, thank you. The couple had three children together.
Didn't he like blow up in a boat?
He was killed in a boating accident.
Yeah.
Yes. 3 years after their youngest was born.
Yeah. Wow. Like he was racing.
He was racing. I feel like his head popped off or something happened where he hit another boat and something happened where he was decapitated.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Wow.
Tragic. And then after that, she went on to marry Prince Ernst August of Hanover, with whom she had her fourth child. She's a grandmother. She's a philanthropist. Then let's go to Prince Albert.
Oh, boy.
Prince Albert had a lot of children out of wedlock.
Oh, she
and
sure did.
He did.
That he would deny.
He did. He would. But this is something I didn't know. He represented Monaco at 5 Olympic Games as a bobsled athlete between 1988 and 2002.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On his father's death.
Some people do anything to get in the Olympic Village.
and during his after his father died in 2005, he became the sovereign prince of Monaco.
Mm.
He married the South African swimmer Charlene.
Mm-hmm.
Their 4-day nuptials marked Monaco's first royal wedding in 55 years.
And Albert was old when they got married.
Old.
I mean, he was like 54.
Yes, he
was like a playboy forever.
He was. Anywho, he has two children with her, and he had two children out of wedlock with two other people that he did not agree to even acknowledge.
Yeah, they like
they
got DNA
him.
And
yep.
You know, he had to force to admit it.
He's 65 right now. Charlene might be 38.
Yeah.
Princess Stephanie was the youngest, and we would always see how cute they were on the cover of People magazine. There were always pictures. 17 years old, she was in the car with her mom when the car fell off the cliff. She didn't really forgive herself or get over it till 2015, she said. I mean, that's a long time.
I think she married a circus worker.
Well, I'm going to tell you. First, she married her bodyguard.
Oh, that's right.
She married her bodyguard, Danielle Ducaret, in a private ceremony in 1995.
You know her dad was going crazy.
Okay, after exhaustingly begging her father to allow her... to marry him.
You don't marry the bodyguard, Julia.
Nope. So
not when you're a Grimaldi.
She already had two children with him.
Yeah.
So she had two sons, and the couple's relationship was subject to intense media scrutiny, in large part due to the vastly different backgrounds.
Yes.
Stephanie, a member of Monaco's royal family. Daniel, a divorced pet shop owner. Okay? It just didn't work, and that's true. It didn't work. It was short-lived. They had a divorce a year later, but they had two kids before they even got married.
All right.
So then she had a brief romance with Franco Nye, an elephant trainer she met at Monte Carlo's annual circus festival.
Well, we've seen how attractive the ringmaster
can be. Yes, we had one in. She and her three children began to travel with him and the circus.
Oh, the dad must have really been going crazy.
Where she met her second husband, a Portuguese acrobatic, Andes Lopez Perez. She wed him. Her dad must have been going crazy.
Going absolutely crazy.
2003, they divorced after 10 months of marriage.
Wow.
And then her passion for the circus continued, specifically for the animals. Circus is what real life should be, is her quote.
Oh, wow.
She adopted two retired circus elephants, Baby in Nepal. They were scheduled for...
That is about the royalest, fanciest thing I've ever heard of.
She gave him a place to live in the backyard of her brother Albert's home in France.
Good Lord.
So think of all these storied children and all their things. And their mom died so young. It was so 1982. I remember vividly.
Yeah, because was she like 51?
No, she was. Yeah, 52? She was, Lori. Yeah, I think she was very 50s. Young. But those kids all had so much tragedy besides their mom dying young. They had interesting lives.
Yeah.
And we followed it.
Right.
And Lori told me one time on a drive from Chicago down to the Kentucky Derby, which is in
Indiana.
In the name.
It's Churchill in Louisville. Downs.
No, it was in Louisville. Kentucky. It was in Kentucky. We drove straight through Indiana with a map, no GPS, no cell phones.
Mm-hmm. We had cell phones, but
they
GPS.
Didn't work. Yeah. There was no coverage. And you told me the entire story about the Grimaldis.
Oh, yeah.
That she read in Vanity Fair. I remember that drive vividly because it took the whole ride.
Yeah, it did.
And I kept asking you to tell me more because I didn't want to talk. And you were doing such a good show.
I mean, you know, they've ruled the country for 800 years or something like that.
It's a fascinating story, the beginnings of Monaco, but also this family has so been plagued by tragedy.
And
I just thought we would revisit.
He was only 32, Prince Rainier. He wasn't that much older. If she was 26, that's nothing.
He wasn't that much older. He looked older because he had early graying hair, onset gray.
No, you know what? Nothing like a cross ribbon across your body and a chest full of medals and a military uniform
to age you
up. It's true. And the pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah, people were stunned when she left, quit acting. She was at the top of her career.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she was sick of having romances with married co-stars
there you
that
go.
Didn't leave their wives for her. And maybe she didn't even want them to, but maybe she was tired of having people talk back behind her back.
She had acted
for
a solid 10 years.
Yeah.
She really did. She was done.
Was she 16 when she started?
I think she was young.
Yeah.
And early. So anyway, I just thought we haven't talked about that family. They had so much tragedy.
And on our 26-hour trip to London, we went to the Grace Kelly exhibit at the V&A Museum. And
Victoria and Albert in London.
It was just, it was so fun.
It was
like
so
250
fun.
Pieces of her wardrobe that it was a traveling exhibit, like much like how the Princess Diana thing came here.
To the Mall of America. It was so fun.
You know, I love a fashion exhibit.
I do, too.
I really do.
We have seen, and that's why we were so disappointed in the Academy Museum in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, because there's not many costumes. There's five.
It is
the lamest
museum I've ever been in.
There it is. There's not enough costumes.
No.
We love that.
There's not enough creativity in that museum.
There you go.
Yeah.
That too. The floor might be slightly closed off when you get there. What did the guy tell us downstairs? Because we paid so much for the tickets, had prepaid.
Yeah.
And they were pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And don't mind the construction on the entire second floor or whatever, yeah, which is where the main exhibit was. And we're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah,
right. It's kind of funny. Oh, no. Ever? We laughed. We laughed about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. We're going to come back. We've got the rest of the headlines. All right, gang. We've got a couple things to share.
Yeah, I just wanted. Yeah. I watched the French Vogue, you know, where they do the questions.
Yes.
And Celine Dion is the cover of the May issue, and they do the questions. But anyway, she did tell a wedding story that I had never heard of, and she was asked about the huge headpiece in 1994, when she got married to her late husband, René Angil.
Yes.
She wore this elaborate headpiece. It almost looked papal.
It did.
And it had 2,000 Swarovski crystals and weighed almost 7 pounds. And she told Vogue that, first of all, it had to be, you know, like sewn onto her head.
Yes.
And she practiced but when the day of the wedding came, she walked the cathedral, and it has no wooden floor. It's carpet. I had an immediate facelift, whatever that means. I start to walk, and I'm like, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? And she kept it on all night.
Oh.
And when we removed the tiara, she had a cut because the pressure was so big. The next day, she woke up, and she's a huge egg in the middle of her forehead, and it is cut, and she had to take antibiotics for 3 weeks before it healed. Everything.
To get rid of the infection. I looked back and I saw that, and it was I remember seeing that headpiece,
and it was all you saw.
Yes, it was.
It was all you saw.
It was.
She doesn't regret it.
Nope, she doesn't. And
regret it for her. I say hibachi to that headpiece.
I do too, Lori. Okay, Grant, what is going on over there?
Nothing, just responding to some emails.
All right, are they good stuff?
Yeah, well, one person was asking us about the book author that we had on today, Kurt Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And the name of the book, The Outlaw Shuffle.
Yeah.
So I just gave her that information.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because you can order it on Amazon right now for just 99 cents. It is a wild ride, The Outlaw Shuffle by Kurt Johnson, Stephanie Hansen's hubby.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
Very good, yeah.
Okay, we got sad news today. Al Shaver has passed away, and he was the voice of the Minnesota North Stars for all 26 years since inception till they moved to Dallas in 1993. He did not want to move with them, but he did it for all 26 seasons. And after
how old was Al Shaver?
He was 96 years old, and he died. He moved to Vancouver Island, British Columbia. He then went on after the North Stars move, and Donnie was on a famous, because KSTP AM 1500 used to carry the North Stars, I believe, at some point. And Donnie Love was on a broadcast when the Miracle on Ice happened.
Wow.
And I feel like he was on with Al Shaver.
Al Shaver, I think
Wow.
Really cool. And Al went on to broadcast the Gophers men's hockey game for 3 seasons before retiring in 1996. The press box at the Excel Center bears his name. Mm. His son, Wally Shaver, who you know the name, Wally Shaver, has been a longtime Gophers announcer as well.
Yeah. I guess I never made the connection that they were related. Good Lord.
Yeah, they are. And so he was a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. He's also a member of the Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame. He was married to his wife, Shirley, for 67 years until her death in 2019. He also is survived by sons Wally, Jim, Gary, and daughters Judy and Sue, 9 grandchildren, 11 great grandchildren, and 2 great-great-granddaughters. Life well lived.
Yeah, no
kidding. Yeah. Everyone knows his voice, Al Shaver.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Judd from Score North said his goodbye to the North Stars is legendary.
Oh,
that final
send off.
Yeah, oh, we might have to go find that.
Yeah, he says legendary.
Yeah,
broadcasting.
Yeah, and tomorrow there's going to be legendary broadcasting at the draft tomorrow night. The Minnesota football draft.
Our show at 3 next Yes.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Legendary.
It's going to be beyond. It's going to be epic. I'm going to remember what day it is. People are going to remember what color hair people have.
Did you look at the photos of Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in Paris on the red carpet?
They just look lovely.
What do you think of, did she wear a vegetable print jumpsuit because she's in, you know, France?
Veggie Tales?
France, you know, we're crock pots and... Oh, yeah. Carrots and sprigs
and
of parsley
are everything.
Right.
I'm just like, I didn't see it close up, Lori.
There's carrots, there's tomatoes, and he's in an all red on red suit.
I didn't love his suit.
I didn't love it either.
Red looks kind of, it looks like, Versace Hibachi. It doesn't show it.
You know what?
It reminds me.
It was
me.
The color of red. It reminded me of, I could get really gross.
Ike Turner, I would feel like wore that
a blood-soaked tampon. I just said it. It's that color of red. I know,
now
Grant.
That you say it,
you
now
still
that
remember?
You yeah.
Wow.
That was good. That was
the
good.
Line of the day right
that
there.
That was good, yeah.
Sorry.
You never forget. You never forget because you know.
You never forget the one time you were wearing those white pants.
That's right. That's right.
All fun things girls and women get to have.
Anyway, yes. I don't know who did that look to Brian.
It's terrible. It's I thought he looked good. So ugly. Don't red suits don't translate well.
And yeah. And
women in red. Yeah, I don't like a red suit on a guy.
Not really. And I didn't realize that Hannah Waddingham is in this.
She is in this the fall.
Yeah. And that, you know, Aaron Taylor Johnson, the supposed, we've heard not one thing about him being Bond.
Since
he's
then.
In it, but the Fall Guy.
Yeah. I was watching the previews with my son last night.
Of the Fall Guy?
Yeah. And he hadn't heard anything about it, which is unusual.
Yeah. Was he interested? Was he?
I said, we should go to that.
Yeah.
And yeah, but he knows everything about, you know, Deadpool. They're being marketed.
Is he all excited?
Well, Deadpool and Wolverine, they're being marketed to. But for some reason, this missing my son's age was weird to me.
Yeah. Like a Prayer is trending because of Deadpool Wolverine.
Of course.
Because it's in the trailer.
It's in the trailer. Yesterday, epic. It was number 60. It hadn't been in the top, you know, even 300. Yesterday, it was 60. And, because Deadpool versus Wolverine is so highly anticipated, it's just like it keeps, you know, blowing up as people share the trailer. And there's a whole group of people who've never heard this
like
this really perfect song. And Ryan Reynolds confessed he did not realize the day that he released that trailer was the day that Like a Prayer on April 22nd, 19... whatever year it was, 94, 90,
was that the day it was
ago.
Released?
No, whenever it was, 35 years ago, but it went to number one. Like a Prayer on the day Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Oh my
gosh. Dropped the trailer and he goes, I didn't even know, guys.
That's a lot of power.
I mean, it
that's
was
a lot of power, don't you think?
It's a lot of karma just happening at the same time.
Okay, now let's go around the go around the horn. What show are you watching tonight, Grant?
I'm going to do Shogun and Big Door Prize both. I'm gonna,
okay.
Yeah.
You're going to Big Door Prize. You like that much. We never got on board last time.
It's goofy. It's out there. It's right up my alley. I think Lori and you would like it if you gave it a shot.
I think so too. And you're doing Shogun.
I got to watch that for sure.
All right.
I'm not promising anything.
Don't promise anything. You might go to a movie.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Which is Thursday.
Legendary show.
All of you guys will be. Thanks.
Job done. Off you go.
Oh, good for you!